This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. What a podcast we got lined up for you. I'm excited. One of the great quarterbacks, former MVP, connected to the silver and black in many ways, Joe Theismann, and one of the great comedians, TV star, stand-up artist, George Lopez, a diehard Raider fan. Raider Nation, that win against the Chargers, another tight one, but the Raiders win, and now the silver and black are 4-1 as they get to stay home and have the opportunity to take on Kansas City in the division and win another big game before the road trips to Florida, and the Raiders move on with that schedule. Last Sunday, after a slow start, Derek Carr came back in the second half. He was electric. Amari Cooper had a big game. Another Crabtree touchdown. And the silver and black are the talk of the NFL again. With a record of 4-1 with the Patriots, with the Steelers, with the Broncos, with some of the best teams in the NFL, the silver and black is back, and now a golden opportunity Sunday against Kansas City to continue to win in the division, build momentum, and keep playing with success. I'll tell you this much, Kansas City's a really good football team. They got slammed by the Pittsburgh Steelers in their last game. They didn't show up at all. Andy Reid, 15-2 coming off a bye week. He's one of the best coaches coming off a bye week, and the Raiders have to be ready for Alex Smith, Jamal Charles, and a hungry team. All week long on the radio, it's Raider Week in Kansas City. And I've talked to several hosts and members of the media, and this is the game they have circled. Kansas City believes if they're able to win this game, they can get back in the hunt for the division. Similar to the Chargers, if the Chiefs can't win this game, Denver and Oakland are starting to pull away. So a lot on the line in the Coliseum this Sunday, and the Raiders have got to be ready to go. We'll talk about this game with these two great legends coming up and continue to talk to the Raider Nation about what's working, the defense, which has been a work in progress, getting better and making big plays when the game is on the line. That's been the key after the first two games and all the numbers that the Raider defense was giving up to stabilize that defense, get off the field on third down, and be in a position late to win games, and the Raiders have been able to do that. So the silver and black are ready to roll. The game Sunday against Kansas City, sold out house at the Coliseum. See them, the barbecues, the fans, the excitement at halftime. I'll be there on the sideline, and I can't wait for this one. They're all big, but Kansas City in this rivalry, just something about the Chiefs when they come to Oakland that gets everybody a little bit on edge. We kick off the podcast with one of the great quarterbacks of his era. Joe Theismann is a Super Bowl champion. He's a former MVP, and he joins us on the official Raiders podcast. Joe, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it.
Always good to catch up with you, JT. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. If I would have told you before the start of the season, the Raiders would be 3-0 on the road, 4-1 coming into a home game against Kansas City, did you see this happening?
You know, in a way, I sort of did. I think, first of all, you got to believe in the philosophy and culture that a coach is trying to build. And Jack Del Rio has always done a terrific job, Denver as a coordinator or whether it was in Jacksonville as a coach. And then, of course, Derek Carr has proven his ability to be able to play, and then you add the pieces around it in the passing game, and you can't help but get excited. I mean, it's the Raider Nation is all excited. To say I thought they'd be 4-1, I thought they'd be a pretty good football team.
Great. Joe, talk about Carr and his ability to make plays outside the pocket. He's got Crabtree and Amari Cooper, and it just seems like when the pocket's clean, he throws a great deep ball, but when he gets outside the pocket, he can really make plays with his legs.
I think this is the one thing you saw when he came out of college is his ability to make plays, not only just make plays outside the pocket, but have really uncanny accuracy when he's on the move. He's got excellent vision. He sees a lot of things. And then again, when he gets the time to sit in the pocket, you know, he'll knock the fly off an elephant's butt. He's that accurate. So as you study him and watch him, I just think his confidence continues to grow, and it always does. When you have people around you making plays as a quarterback, you don't have to strive to be perfect. You just have to be able to play the position with confidence, and that's what he's doing right now.
Joe Theismann joins us. Joe, you played behind some of the greatest offensive linemen in the history of this game. Talk about how important it was for you to take the next step in your great career and the confidence you had and the communication with your O-line.
I think it's Sarge talks about it. If you're going to build a football game, you should put the offensive and defensive line. Because the pressure comes from the defensive line, and the offensive line gives you an opportunity to do so many things. I mean, take a look at the Dallas Cowboys and what Dak Prescott's doing down in Dallas, just as an example. One of the best offensive lines in football. He's been upright, doesn't get hit a lot, has a chance to make plays. I think when you look at where Derek is with the silver and black, it's a similar situation where he has the ability to be able to look around. And the other thing is that it isn't just the guys as individuals, but it's the total package when they work together. And I really feel like what you see in Oakland is guys creating opportunities for him to be able to make a play. And then what he'll do is if one or two get pushed back a little bit, the others hold up enough so that there isn't a problem and he has a place to escape and get to.
Joe, how good does Khalil Mack look to you? Because he's getting blocked this year, and that's what happens when you become a Pro Bowler at two different positions. You get chipped at the line of scrimmage. Running backs stay in and chip you, and fullbacks and tight ends. He's been bogged down a little bit statistically, but what a great athlete he is.
Oh, he's a fabulous athlete. And basically what we saw a year ago was his ability to be able to influence and change games. And so from a player standpoint, this is where when you get somebody that has his ability, that you have to count on the other guys because you know he's going to get double teamed, you know he's going to get chipped, and so it's up to the other guys to step up and make plays, and that's exactly what you're seeing out of the Raider defense. They understand that he's going to get double teamed, and if he doesn't, they're going to pay the price. But if he does, then they have an opportunity to be able to have someone else make a play.
Joe Theismann joins us. Joe, with the build-up in your win in Super Bowl 17, then the Raiders in Super Bowl 18, where was Al Davis on your map back in the day, going through him, competing against him, even though they're in a different conference? What was your first interaction with Al Davis and the Raiders back in the day?
It's as a player, not much. But when I got into broadcasting, I had the opportunity to be around Mr. Davis, and to me, it was it was always just fascinating to talk football with him. He is and was the ultimate football man. Everything you wanted to know about yourself, about the game, about anything that you possibly needed to know, Al knew it. He used to study film of me when I was in high school. And he would pay the ultimate compliment and say, Joe, if you were a Raider, would have loved to have had you. Matter of fact, I wanted to be a Raider, JT. At the end of my career, it seemed like the place where everybody, once your career was looked like it might be over in this league, it's the opportunity to move someplace else. And the Raiders were always there with open arms for guys with experience. It was almost a throwback to a George Allen philosophy where you give me older guys that are experienced, that don't make mistakes, and I'll win more football games than I'll lose. The games today in football aren't necessarily won all the time. It's just a question of not doing things that cost you football games.
Joe Theismann joins us. Joe, I want to talk about quickly your great broadcasting career as an analyst in the booth and outside the booth. A lot of talk this last couple of weeks about ratings going down because of the debates with Clinton and Trump and more channels. And broadcasting and broadcasting executives. Are we making too much out of that? Are we losing a little bit of the entertainment level in some of the broadcasts because of Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and all the games we get Sunday during the day?
Well, you do get a degree of saturation. And don't forget, JT, it's not just professional football. You have college games starting now on Wednesday nights, I think. And there's the Canadian Football League on Friday nights. There are a lot of choices for people. And so when people have a lot of choices, the ratings will be affected. The thing is, I think the presidential debate certainly has had an influence on what the ratings are. But once November rolls around, and within 9 days, the next debate will be over. And then we'll be on to deciding the president of the United States. And I think things will start to get quite a bit more back to normal from a football viewing standpoint. People have talked about the Colin Kaepernick situation and the guys kneeling down and people being turned off to the game of football. I think we're going through social changes right now where you can't have a knee-jerk reaction. You sort of have to let the landscape settle down a little bit. Let's take a look at what everybody's doing, and then we'll make a decision accordingly. But right now, to be able to say, okay, this is what's going on. Let's change this. Let's change that. I think would be a big mistake.
We're wrapping it up with Joe Theismann. Joe, finally, if you can handicap the AFC for us, because Raiders have Kansas City. Kansas City's 2-2 this Sunday. The Silver and Black are 4-1. But Denver's 4-1, but they are real inexperienced at the quarterback position. If it's Simeon healthy or Paxton Lynch, is it still New England at 4-1 and Pittsburgh at 4-1? That's the cream of the crop to you in the AFC?
Yes, it's still New England. There's no question in my mind that the New England Patriots are the team to beat. I mean, with two different quarterbacks, they went 3-1. And really, Brisket, the reason why he didn't play well in the fourth game was because he was hurt. You know, and made a couple of mistakes. New England's going to dominate because of their defense. Bill Belichick has proven time and time again how great a football coach he is, the best in football. And then you add Tom Brady to the mix, and now you get a Gronk back healthy and LeGarrette Blount. I mean, you just named star after star on that football team. And, interestingly enough, the last four games, basically, three of them were at home. And so playing at home makes a world of difference. But I think that if you're going to win the AFC, you're going to have to go through New England.
That's it. Joe, fantastic. Great to catch up with you again. Thanks for your time, as always.
Thanks, JT. Take care.
Thanks to Joe Theismann for joining us. And now, one of the great multimedia entertainers of our time. He's a comedian. He's a talk show host. He's an author. He's had so many brilliant television shows, and he's a diehard Raider fan. We welcome George Lopez to the Official Raider Podcast. George, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anything for the silver and black, baby.
You got to be loving this. 4-1, 3-0 on the road. Did you expect this? You've been waiting for this to happen. Now,
I think the watershed moment was in New Orleans when they went for the two and they got it. Because I think that's a game that we might not have won in years past. And even in the other come-from-behind victory, you see things in this team that we were all been waiting to see. And I think Jack Del Rio's the right guy, a real guy's guy. And that team is performing well. It's amazing, amazing talent. And the fans have always been there. And it's, when the fans are there and the team is there, it's a beautiful time in Raiderville.
Hey, George, I'm happy you mentioned Jack Del Rio from Hayward, right down the block from Oakland and the Coliseum. He grew up a Raider fan. With all the coaches that we've seen in the past, the Raiders and Mark Davis seem to now have the right fit.
I think this is the guy. You know, Mark Davis is, it isn't easy to be in the Davis family. You know, Al was such a taskmaster at everything and everything in supporting the Raiders and stuff. And his iconic, that iconic presence, that iconic look and that feel, but definitely this year is a year that is exciting for fans. And I think that when you're a true diehard Raider fan, whether you go through the good and the bad, you never leave. You never leave. Like, I got invited to be at the Ram game on Sunday, and unfortunately, I was unable to attend at the last minute, but I wasn't planning on attending anyway.
When did it start for you, George, with your passion for the silver and black?
Well, I think it goes back to, the 70s, man, because, on NBC, back before cable and all that, they had the Sunday game of the week, and the Raiders played a lot. So you saw, like, Blanda, and you saw Daryl LaMonica, and you saw Stabler, and you went through, Lester Hayes, and the guys, Otis Sistrung. The guys were just mean. Listen, you can't be a Chicano and not gravitate towards the dudes that are tough. We just love people that are tough. And playing in those games and playing in the rain and playing tough and knowing they were tough and the Steelers were tough back then, it just made I know a lot of people that are Steeler fans have never been to Pittsburgh. I got indoctrinated, and that's when my love of the Raiders began.
George Lopez joins us. George, what was it like in the neighborhood back in the day when you first put on your Raiders jersey and you're looking around and guys are wearing different jerseys? Did you ever have to go toe-to-toe with your loyalty with the silver and black?
Well, clearly, yes. Dudes would come over and knock our hats off us or spill stuff on us, and we'd have to take them out. When they came to L.A., when the Rams had left, so we're not big fans. Listen, we have so many people come in and out of our lives that we don't appreciate when someone's around and then they leave like the Rams did and then come back 25 years later and think like, hey, all of the signs say we're back. Well, we need more than we're back. So a lot of people left that team and went to the Silver and Black when they were there. Ice Cube, a lot of celebrity fans and stuff like that. Carlos Santana is a diehard Raider fan, and you know it's not that easy to just come back. So once I made my pledge to the Silver and Black, I didn't care what color the Rams were. I wasn't going there.
You know, George, I think a lot of fans appreciate it. When you began as a celebrity, you were really loyal to this team. And as all your stand-up events came and your TV shows, comedy, talk shows, and all that, you never forgot the Raiders along the way. Raider fans really appreciate that.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate that. You know, when I did my sitcom, I wore a lot of jerseys. You know, Dan Marino gave me a jersey. I wore it. I wore some baseball jerseys, a Rod Carew jersey. But I always had... you know, I even think we told my son, this is a Raider house. This is a metal house. And I used to wear different Raider jerseys at different times. And as a matter of fact, I think when Jerry Rice came to the Raiders, I wore a Rice jersey before the Rice jerseys were even made.
Wow, that's old school. That's access that you had, George, back in the day. People are jealous that you had the ability to get that before anybody else, huh?
Oh, man, we had it made. I said, like, there isn't a jersey. I said, well, let's get a jersey and let's make one. And then I got asked by Inside the NFL to do pieces for the end of the show. Like, Wanda Sykes was doing pieces, and I was doing pieces. And one piece I did was I said that the NFL stood for Not For Latinos because Jim Plunkett and Tom Flores were not in the Hall of Fame.
That's a perfect spot for me to jump in and ask you about your passion for those two legendary Latinos, because I was just back at the Hall of Fame. Brett Favre got there. I was there for the Ken Stabler induction with his family. And as you know, it was way too long for there to be a snake in the Hall of Fame. But Coach Flores was there. And you sit there and you go, what more do you have to do? There are coaches, George, as you know, in the Hall of Fame that have not won a Super Bowl. Coach Flores has won two. I'm sure you're passionate about helping him and Jim Plunkett get in.
Well, I will do anything, and so will Carlos Santana, because it is not fair that these guys are not in the Hall of Fame. Jim Plunkett is the only guy who has won two Super Bowls who is not in the Hall of Fame, and that is just not right. And listen, they always say that we're going to play the race card. Aside from that, because it can't be that blatant, but you cannot have Jim Kelly and Marv Levy in the Hall of Fame without having Tom Flores and Jim Plunkett in the Hall of Fame. It taints the Hall of Fame to where there's a level of disconnect, because it's supposed to be a sacred hall. There's no way you tell me that you lose four Super Bowls and you go to the Hall of Fame and you win two Super Bowls, and then Tom Flores was the first Latino quarterback to win one, the first coach of color to win a Super Bowl, and it's just, he was an assist. I mean, it's unimaginable that Mike Ditka, who has, I think, either the same or less credentials that Tom Flores is in, and Tom Flores is not in.
George Lopez is our guest. George, Super Bowl 11, 15, 18. Take me back to the greatest moments for you as a Raider fan back in the day, and it might have been when Rich Gannon recently got him to a Super Bowl. Tie it up for me with the great high moments for you as a Raider fan.
Well, listen, Matt, I was at the one in San Diego against Tampa Bay, and you know, that kickoff came. There's the whole Santana played halftime. There's the whole Jets flying over, man. We're going down the field. We get a first down. Guy stands there. He points down the field. First down. And then we proceeded to get run. But, man, I said, did we not change the playbook in the last year that we let Gruden go and then he went to Tampa Bay? Did we not take his playbook? Because I think when somebody leaves, they return their playbook. But the victory against the Redskins and Marcus Allen, it's just, and Plunkett, it's just beautiful because, you know, I was in an elevator with Al Michaels and John Madden, and I said to those, why aren't Tom Flores and Jim Plunkett in the Hall of Fame? And John Madden, who I love and respect, said, I think the door's closed on them. And I said, man, I don't think so. And I said, if you think the door's closed, dude, I'm going to open that door, and I'm not going to rest until both of those dudes get into the Hall of Fame.
We're wrapping it up with George Lopez. Okay, so the low moments, I'm giving you a choice. The immaculate reception with the Steelers, the Rob Lytle fumble, or the tuck rule with Tom Brady. Give me a story that drove you mad and crazy when the Raiders lost.
Oh, man, I'm going to say that I'm going to say that the Tom Brady moment in the snow is the worst moment.
Yeah.
Because that's ridiculous, man. I mean, that we got robbed. We got robbed there.
Absolutely.
And that was our year. That was a strong year. We were going. And you just imagine that whatever happened to the Patriots would have happened to us.
Absolutely. That was a better team than the Patriots. And the Patriots not only went on to win that game, George, they went on to build the dynasty.
That's right. You know, one of the great teams. I think that's one of those moments that, laces out. You know, Ace Ventura, they did three movies about the laces out. And I think that's one of the moments where you're like, man, you're robbed and you're like, how did that just happen?
You got to give us one Coliseum story. The Raiders come to L.A. It's the Coliseum. You own L.A., your buddies, your family, and your friends. What type of access did you have in the Coliseum years?
Well, I'm going to tell you that when the Raiders first came, I was at that first game. And one of the first preseason games was against the Rams. They came from Anaheim. And, you know, imagine that the Rams had been there all those years they were there. So the Rams come out of the tunnel to a chorus of boos. And when the Raiders came out, I get the hair standing up on my arms. We could not have been more in love with this team because we knew what they meant to us already. And then to come to the Coliseum on that sunny day and run out of that tunnel in the silver and black, man, I've never been. You know, I have one daughter that I was very excited when she was born. That might have been the birth canal, that tunnel at the Coliseum, because when the Raiders came out, I haven't been as happy to see anybody come out of that tunnel than my daughter, Mayan.
George, finally, you have so much going on. What can we plug? What's going on TVs in the future, especially your stand-up acts, which are outstanding? I've seen you several times. What's next for you?
Yeah, thank you, man. We're just out there touring, and then, you know, Lopez on TV Land starts in January. But I'm always out there. Listen, I love to perform. I love stand-up. I love the people that come to the shows. I love the Raider fans at all times, and I always have to take a moment. And, they have premiered access to me than anybody else.
Finally, what's your message to the Raider Nation, the global Raider Nation?
Listen, you cannot win until you understand what it's like to lose. We've lost. The last years have been tough. But I will tell you, now is the time that we reap the benefits of all those bad coaches, of all the great players who never had a chance to really succeed. So for them, this year is dedicated to the Snake, Blanda, Stabler, Casper, the 80s, Marcus, the guys, and you know what? And to Tom and Jim. We win, they win. We win the Super Bowl, they get in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, George. This was outstanding. We'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you. Anytime.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Official Raiders Podcast. I hope you like that one. Theismann and Lopez, that gets you going for the game on Sunday. Remember, download it at iTunes, but stay at Raiders.com for press conference updates, all the information that you need, stories behind the scenes, and the access that you only get from Silver and Black Productions. I'm JT. I'll see you Sunday in Oakland and back next week on the Official Raiders Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.